Today's passage is 2 Samuel 12, 15 to 31. Then Nathan went to his house. And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick. And David therefore sought God on behalf of the child. And David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. And the elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day, the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, 'The child is dead'? He may do himself some harm." But David saw that his servants were whispering together. David understood that the child was dead. And David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." Then David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. And when he asked, they set food before him and he ate. Then his servants said to him, "What is this thing that you have done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me, that the child may live?' But now he is dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." Then David comforted his wife Bathsheba, and went in to her, and lay with her, and she bore a son, and he called his name Solomon. And the Lord loved him, and sent a message by Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord. Now Joab fought against Rabbah of the Ammonites, and took the royal city. And Joab sent messengers to David, and said, "I have fought against Rabbah. Moreover, I have taken the city of waters. Now then gather the rest of the people together, and encamp against the city and take it, lest I take the city and it be called by my name." So David gathered all the people together and went to Rabbah and fought against it and took it. And he took the crown of their king from his head. The weight of it was a talent of gold, and it was a precious stone. And in it was a precious stone, and it was placed on David's head. And he brought out the spoil of the city, a very great amount. And he brought out the people who were in it, and set them to labor with saws and iron picks and iron axes, and made them toil at the brick kilns. And thus he did to all the cities of the Ammonites. Then David and all the people returned to Jerusalem. Today we are looking at the second half of 2 Samuel 12. As a recap of the first half, God had sent Nathan, the prophet, to rebuke David for his sin of adultery and murder. David acknowledged that he had sinned against the Lord, and God showed mercy by sparing David's life, though the sin will cost his son's life. And in the first part of today's passage, we see that indeed playing out. Verse 15 says, "And the Lord afflicted the child that Uriah's wife bore to David, and he became sick." Note that the author writes Uriah's wife to refer to Bathsheba, which points out once again David's wrongdoing. God afflicts Bathsheba and David's child as promised. And despite how David sought God on behalf of the child and fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground, God took the child's life after 7 days of sickness. When David hears the news of his child's death, he accepts it and goes to the house of the Lord and worships. Just trying to imagine what it was like for David, I picture David just pouring out his heart to God, knowing that he is guilty, but still asking for mercy, knowing that it's a possibility with who God is, that God would spare his son's life. And then after hearing the news of his son's death, just worshiping God for his holiness and righteousness. In verses 21 to 23, we get a glimpse into his thoughts, which end in a very somber tone with, "I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." Pausing here for a moment, let's reflect on the grave consequences of sin. As spoken through Nathan, God's judgment for David's act of rebellion against him was his child's life. In other words, the price of David's sin was his son's life. As Christians, we know that the wages of sin is death, and this is one example of that. Let's be reminded of this truth, that in everybody's life, including my life and your life, sin ultimately leads to death. The more we allow sin to fester in our lives, the worse consequences we'll end up reaping. So let's take repentance, turning away from sin and living in obedience to what God wants, seriously. Let's not wait until we experience the more severe consequences of sin before we turn to God. The best time to turn to God in repentance is always right now. Moving on in the passage, verses 24 and 25 are about Solomon's birth. David lays with Bathsheba, who now is referred to as his wife, and she bears him a son, Solomon. Reading from the verses, "And the Lord loved him and sent a message by Nathan the prophet. So he called his name Jedidiah, because of the Lord." Just as God had sent Nathan to rebuke David earlier, this time God sends Nathan to David to tell him that God loves Solomon. Again, trying to imagine what was going through David's head, I think that receiving this message from God through Nathan must have been really comforting. God has not completely abandoned David because of his actions, but rather, God is still with him. God loves his son, Solomon, and God loves David himself enough to tell him this. God shows David his faithfulness. Not only is God faithful to David for blessing him with the birth of Solomon, if we zoom out, we see that God is tremendously faithful to David and to us, because in the line of Solomon, generations later, comes Jesus. In Matthew 1, the genealogy of Jesus, verses 6 and 7 read, "And David was the father of Solomon by the wife of Uriah, and Solomon the father of Rehoboam," and so on. Despite the sins of David, which again are brought to the forefront in Matthew with the mention of Uriah, God is so faithful and gracious. Jesus was born into the messiness of humanity in order to redeem all of humanity. David's sin, your sin, my sin. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." Let's remember the price for our sins is that we should not live. We should be cut off from God. But in his mercy, God has offered his own son. Jesus died on a cross so that we could live forever with God. Can we live continually in repentance, in worship, and in thankfulness for God's faithfulness to us? I encourage us to spend time responding in this way. But first, let me pray for us to close this devotional. Dear God, we thank you for this passage, and though it's a very serious one with David's son dying, Lord, at the same time, it's one where we see your mercy and your grace and your faithfulness, God, that despite David's faithlessness in his life and our own faithlessness in the ways that we sin against you, God, you sent your own son you sent your own son, who is the descendant of Solomon, Lord, so that we could have life with you. So God, this day we praise you, and we ask for your Holy Spirit to help us to keep remembering the price that you gave for us, so that we could be in a relationship with you. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name we pray.